people gathering around His Word to reflect upon the birth of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. There are many things in the Christmas story that we could focus on this morning. I want to read just verses 13 and 14 once again of Luke chapter 2. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased.'" This morning we have sung together of the glorious message of Christmas, the message of Jesus Christ who came to earth to save sinners. That message was announced already the night of His birth. A message brought to us not by human heralds, not by human messengers, but by the angels themselves. This morning we're going to look together at the message the angels brought on that first glorious night. And I would suggest, first of all, that this message that is brought is a message of praise. We have spent time this morning bringing praise to God. And it's appropriate to praise God, not simply because it's Christmas Day, but because it is the Lord's Day. It's a day God has given us to come together for worship and for praise. And so it's important that we praise God in the songs that we sing to Him. Think about the praise that was brought from the angels on that first Christmas night. The angels brought Him praise. The angels said, "Glory to God." Children, in Scripture, when angels are pictured to us, they're often pictured as glorious beings. We think of the story of the calling of Isaiah. We get a glimpse into the throne room of heaven, and there are angels there, and they're depicted as glorious ones, luminous ones. We hear also in Revelation chapter 5 this scene again in the courtroom of heaven. And we have these words from Revelation 5. "Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders and a voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory forever and ever.'" This picture of praise, this picture of worship, this picture of bringing blessing to God, myriads upon myriads of angels. Angels who are glorious, angels who spend their time in the presence of a glorious God. Now their praise overflows to the earth. The praise of heaven spills over into the sphere of earth. And these angels come with this glorious message, "Glory to God. Glory to God." Oh, imagine what the sky must have looked like that night. First, one angel coming with this message, "Fear not, I bring you news of great joy." And suddenly a whole host of the heavens filled with angels. But they don't say, "Glory to us. Look how great we are. Look how wonderful we are." They turn their attention elsewhere. Glory to God in the highest. That's the focus of our praise on this Christmas day, on this Lord's day, bringing glory to God. Certainly God is worthy of our praise. He is the God who is the God who is all-powerful, the God who can do all things in accord with His own nature. He is the God who is all-knowing, who knows the end from the beginning. He knows every part of us, every part of our life. He is the God who is always present with us, never leaving us for a moment. But I would suggest the angels call us to bring God glory in this call, not simply because of who He is, but also because of what He was doing. The message that Christ was born. The angels bring praise because finally, the one whom they had anticipated for so many years was here. The one who would be the Son of God to accomplish the redemption of His people. Already back in the Garden of Eden, we have the promise of one to come. The man and his wife were there. They were, They were in fellowship with each other and in fellowship with God. And rather than staying in communion with God, they chose to go their own way, chose to reject God's word, fell into sin. But God didn't leave them simply left to themselves. But God gave them a promise of one to come. A promise of one who would come and destroy the head of the serpent. That promise, given some thousands of years earlier, is now coming to fruition. Glory to God, a message of praise. Throughout time, that promise was expanded and reminded once again. We think of the call of Abraham. God comes to Abraham and says to Abraham, "In you and in your offspring, all nations will be blessed." Now that wasn't fulfilled in Abraham's sons or grandsons or great-grandsons. It is in this offspring, this one who they'd looked for years, in this one, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That promise they had been waiting for, that promise they had been anticipating, finally is here. Glory to God in the highest. The promise of a king who would rule on David's throne. David was a wonderful king, a great king over Israel, but he reigned and he stopped and he died. And there were other kings, some better and some worse, but there was always this promise of a greater king, the greater son of David to come. The one who would truly reign with righteousness over his people. This one is finally here on the scene. Glory to God in the highest for what he is doing. It's a message of praise to God. And I think it's important for us, maybe particularly this Christmas, to keep that in mind. Christmas this year falls on the Lord's Day. And it's wonderful to celebrate what God did in giving us His Son. But we don't forget that it is the Lord's Day, a day set apart for rest and for worship, a day that He gives us week after week to focus upon Him. It's so easy for us to get distracted by so many other things. I was watching a news show last night on TV as I was flipping through the channels. And there was some news person who was talking about some Christmas celebrations going on here and there. And he said something like, but in all the busyness, we have to remember the real reason for Christmas. And then he went on to interview two or three people about the real reason for Christmas. And every one of them said, it's a time to be with our family. It's a time to see my relatives. It's a time to spend time with children. Now, being with relatives and family is wonderful. It's a blessing if we have relatives who can be with us today. But that's not the real meaning of Christmas. Christmas is not, first of all, about our human families. But it is about the family of God. What He has done for us in sending His Son to be our Savior from sin. That's why we gather as the family of God today. We gather in worship. It is the Lord's Day. A day set aside for this praise. A day set aside for worship. It's right, it's appropriate, it's fitting for us to gather for worship on this Christmas Lord's Day. I'm sure you've read, as I have, many of the internet articles and different posts on various blogs about churches canceling worship on Christmas Day because it's Sunday and they want to have time with their family. This is an appropriate day to worship. It's an appropriate day to praise. That was the message the angels first brought. A message of glory to God. Glory to God. And may God in His grace allow us to keep Him as the center of our celebration. And what a wonderful blessing from God that Christmas falls on the Lord's Day this year, where we can focus upon Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. The angels brought a glorious message, a message of praise and a message of peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Now that's a wonderful message. A message of peace on earth. But remember, Israel was experiencing peace at this time. They were not sold off into captivity at this point when Jesus Christ comes. They are back, living in the promised land. Oh, to be sure, Rome was in control, but Rome was a fairly benevolent overseer. That it was a time of prosperity. It was a time of education. It was a time of ease, of traveling. It was a time when things were going pretty well. And in this comfortable situation, the message comes of peace on earth. And again, while that's a wonderful message, you can almost imagine them saying, well, you mean more peace? We've already got it. We're living in relative ease. Rome is not being a terrible overlord over us. We've already got peace on earth. In many ways, it was a time not unlike the times that we live in. We live in relative peace. Oh, I know that there are conflicts going on around the world. But we are not currently in our land under attack. There's no one encroaching upon our borders. It's a time where we can travel and get around in relative ease. It's a time of education. It's a time of prosperity. What more do we want? What's the blessing of this message of peace on earth? Because the peace that the angel spoke about, the message of peace that they brought, was not simply a message of external peace. It was not simply a message of getting along fairly well in life. But it was a message that came from heaven about a peace that came from heaven. About a peace not simply among men, but a peace between men and their God. That was the glory of the message. Christmas is not primarily about peace among men, that we now can bury the hatchet with our neighbor who we've been arguing with for the last year. We can now simply reconcile with family members. It's not first of all about peace among men, but peace between man and God. That was the glorious message of peace. Man, in his own willfulness that we talked about, had chosen against the way of peace. He had chosen to go his own way, a way of hardship, a way of difficulty, a way of sin, a way where he was alienated from the God who had created him. And he had lived under that burden year after year after year, knowing that God was a holy, righteous, just God, and that he was unholy and unrighteous. Oh, God had provided ways and pictures by which his sin could be taken away. In the pictures of the Old Testament, the sacraments, the ceremonies, the sacrifices that took place. But the angels come and announce the reality. The real peace is here. A peace that will be accomplished by this child, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Because this child will go to battle to secure the peace of his people. This child will be the one who will battle not simply the sins of mankind, but this child will battle Satan himself and overcome and defeat. Even though it might look like Satan was winning, it might look like he had conquered when on the cross Christ is offered up and dies. That death is the death knell of the power of Satan. He has been defeated. Because Christ said, it is finished. The work is done. Redemption of the people is accomplished through his death, an atoning death. That was the peace. That was the message of peace the angels brought. A peace between God and man, secured by Jesus Christ, secured by this child, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's the glorious message of peace. Because of that peace, we may now hope for peace among men. Because of what God has done for us and continues to do in us by the power of His Spirit, we may be reconciled with those around us. We may have hope for reconciliation. If we are simply trying to satisfy our neighbors, our friends, our relatives in our own strength, we're going to fail. Unless we know peace with God, first of all. If you are here and don't yet know that true peace, that real peace, until you bow the knee before this King Jesus, you will never know peace with those around you. You'll never have peace within yourself. It is only because God has come in Christ to secure our peace that we can have any hope. A message of peace on earth. And a message of pleasure. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. Now, depending on what translation you are used to using, that last half of this phrase is translated in a variety of ways. Sometimes translated, those on whom His favor rests. Sometimes peace among those with whom He has pleasure. And I would suggest that's probably one of the better translations. This is not bad. Among those with whom He is pleased, those with whom God finds pleasure. Now, what do we mean when the angels say, peace on earth among those with whom He is pleased? We might think what the message they brought was, this message of God's pleasure, was among those who did the right things to please Him. Peace on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. He's pleased because they've done the right number of things. They've done the right things to bring Him pleasure. They've done the right things to appease His anger. That's not the message of pleasure that the angels brought. It is not that we have to do enough things to please our God so that we will know the peace of Jesus Christ. In fact, it is just the opposite. When the angel says, peace on earth among those with whom He is pleased, it is not our pleasing God. But it is His choosing to take pleasure in us. Those with whom He is pleased, those on whom He takes pleasure, are the ones on whom He chooses to show His favor. The ones who He chooses to delight in. And that taking pleasure, where else do we hear about God taking pleasure or delighting in what he has done. We think, again, back to the creation. God created things and He took pleasure in them. He delighted in them. He rested in the work He had made and took pleasure in what He saw around Him. Because He was active, because He was at work. Not because creation sprung forth to Him, but because He called it forth. And so as we think about that message of the angels today, that message of pleasure, we don't say, look, God, look how great I am. Look what I have done. You better take pleasure in me. No, once again, it is glory to God. Glory to God for what He has done. That He, simply for His good pleasure, has chosen to show His love to us. Not because of anything we have done. Not because we've done the right things or said the right words. But God chooses to take pleasure in you. He chooses to delight in you because He bestows His blessing and favor upon you. Knowing that God has chosen to show us His good pleasure, now we want to respond in ways that are pleasing to Him, in ways that do bring glory to Him, in ways that are, with our life, when we declare glory to God in the highest, not glory to me, look what I've done, look how great I am. But no, glory to God. I'm a fallen, worthless sinner, but look what He has done. Look how He has changed me. Look at the glory goes to Him. Because He's chosen to take pleasure in me. Will God take pleasure in you on this Lord's Day? Will God take pleasure in the words that you say, in the praise that you bring? Will God take pleasure in the actions you perform? Not because they're so worthy in themselves, but will they reflect that He is at work, that He has called you to be His own, that He has sent His Son, a Savior, Christ the Lord, who is your Savior? Will He take pleasure in your celebration of the birth of His Son? God is certainly pleased that we have responded to His call to worship. We've responded to the call to come together as the family of God to praise and worship Him. May He continue to work in us that we might do those things which are pleasing unto Him with our words, with our actions, with our thoughts, bringing praise and glory to God. The angels brought a message of praise. Glory to God in the highest. A message of peace. And on earth, peace. Not simply horizontal peace, but peace with God and man. Among those with whom He is pleased. God is pleased with His children. May we be pleasing unto Him. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank You for this word You have given to us. An old story, a familiar story, the message of the angels we have heard many times. But may You, O God, by the power of Your Spirit, work that message into our hearts and lives once more. May we truly praise You on this Lord's Day. May You be the focus of our celebration this Christmas season. We thank You, O God, for the peace You have accomplished, a peace that we were unable to accomplish, a peace we could not even facilitate, but that You worked perfectly through Your Son, Jesus Christ, who came in the fullness of time to be the Savior for His people. O Lord God, we know it was not because of our worth, not because of who we are. It was simply for Your good pleasure. Will You, O God, continue to work in us by the power of Your Spirit that we may do that which is pleasing unto You. Hear our prayer, O God, and accept our praise. For Jesus' sake, amen.